Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
As a maritime historian, being invited on a final voyage of the Righteous Wind is a dream come true. This isn't just any ship, it's a legend. Built in 1845 in the bustling shipyards of Boston, it was commissioned by the East India Trading Company to transport valuable goods like spices, silk, and tea from the Far East to ports in England and America. Celebrated for its speed, durability, and sheer grandeur, it quickly became the jewel of the high seas. The Righteous Wind's maiden voyage, captained by the seasoned and revered Edward Lancaster, was fraught with peril and intrigue. The journey from Boston to Calcutta faced treacherous storms, encounters with pirates, and a mysterious illness that claimed several crew members. Yet despite these challenges, the ship completed its journey, earning a reputation for bravery and resilience. Over the years, the Righteous Wind continued to make history. During the American Civil War, it was repurposed as a blockade runner, smuggling goods through Union blockades to supply the Confederacy. After the war, it returned to merchant service, traveling to exotic locals and adding to its stored legacy. Now, nearly two centuries later, the Righteous Wind is embarking on its final voyage, retracing the original route from Boston to Calcutta. This commemorative journey has attracted historians, enthusiasts, and a small crew, all eager to be part of this historic moment. As I boarded the ship this morning, I was filled with a sense of awe. The Righteous Wind had been meticulously restored to its former glory, with all its tall masts and billowing sails standing proud against the sky. The deck is a labyrinth of ropes, pulleys, and wooden planks that creaked underfoot, each telling a story of the countless sailors who once walked these boards. I met Captain Thomas Blythe, a direct descendant of Captain Lancaster. He carried the same commanding presence and deep respect for the sea as his ancestor. The crew, though small, is a mix of experienced sailors and eager volunteers, all united by a shared passion for maritime history. Our journey promised to be a voyage through time, a chance to relive the adventures and challenges faced by those who sailed these waters before us. Little did we know, however, that the past holds more than just stories. It harbors secrets and dangers that are about to resurface. After settling in and exploring the ship, I made my way to my quarters. It was clear that every effort had been made to recreate the atmosphere of the Righteous Wind's maiden voyage. The room was small but cozy, with wooden furnishings that gleamed with a rich patina, the result of meticulous restoration. A small oil lamp cast a warm glow, illuminating a brass bedstead and a sturdy oak writing desk. Maps and nautical charts adorned the walls, along with portraits of the ship's original crew. The attention to detail was astounding, making me feel like I truly stepped back in time. I unpacked my belongings, taking a moment to appreciate the history's significance of my surroundings. The bed was surprisingly comfortable, covered with a woolen blanket that looked hand-woven. It felt like a privilege to sleep in the room that once housed the brave sailors who embarked on the ship's first voyage. Later, I joined the other enthusiasts on deck. We exchanged stories and shared our excitement about the voyage. Among them was Dr. Emily Harper, a marine archaeologist who had spent years researching shipwrecks, and Martin Briggs, a retired naval officer with a wealth of knowledge about naval warfare. Their enthusiasm was infectious, and our conversations flowed easily, fueled by our shared passion for maritime history. Dinner was served in the ship's dining hall, which had been transformed into an elegant, old-timely setting reminiscent of the first voyage. The room was lit by chandeliers, casting a golden light over the long wooden tables adorned with fine china and silverware. The smell of roasted meat and freshly baked bread filled the air, mingling with the sound of laughter and animated conversation. As we dined, I couldn't help but notice one of the young crewmates, a man named Jacob. He was in his early 20s, with an athletic build, with a friendly demeanor. However, there was something odd about him that I couldn't quite put my finger on. His movements were subtly off, almost as if he had just learned how to walk weeks ago. He moved with a peculiar stiffness, and his eyes seemed to dart around the room, never setting on one thing for too long. Throughout dinner, I found myself glancing at Jacob, trying to discern what it was that made him seem so uncanny. His mannerisms were just slightly out of sync with everyone else, enough to create an unsettling feeling. I decided to keep an eye on him, curious about what might be behind this odd behavior. After dinner, we retired to the deck to enjoy the night air. The stars were brilliant, reflecting off the calm sea, and the sound of the waves against the hull was soothing. Despite my curiosity about Jacob, the beauty of the night and the camaraderie of the fellow enthusiasts filled me with contentment. As I returned to my quarters, I couldn't help but feel a sense of gratitude for being part of this remarkable voyage. The Righteous Wind carried not only the echoes of its past voyages, but also the promise of new discoveries and experiences. Tomorrow, I will delve deeper into the ship's history and continue my conversations with the fascinating people on board. For now, I felt at peace, ready to embrace the adventures that laid ahead. I woke up to the gentle rocking of the ship and the sound of gulls outside my porthole. After getting dressed, I made my way to the dining hall for breakfast. The morning air was crisp, and the promise of another day aboard the Righteous Wind filled me with excitement. As I walked along the deck, I saw Jacob again. This time, something was definitely wrong. His face looked droopy, almost as if he was having a seizure. His eyes were unfocused, and his mouth hung slightly open. Alarmed, I quickly approached an employee and pointed out Jacob's condition. The employee acted swiftly, guiding Jacob to the medical part of the ship. The rest of the day seemed to fly by. The crew had organized various activities, including a demonstration of traditional sailing techniques and a lecture of the ship's history. The atmosphere was lively, and I found myself engrossed in the events, momentarily forgetting the unsettling encounter with Jacob. As night fell, I retired to my quarters, exhausted but content. I drifted off to sleep easily, only to be jolted awake by a faint, eerie scream. My heart pounded as I listened, trying to determine if it was real or just a figment of my imagination. I peeked out of my cabin and saw other guests doing the same, their faces filled with confusion and concern. We gathered in the corridor, exchanging worried glances. The faint scream had clearly disturbed more than just me. As we searched for the source of the sound, we encountered an employee.
"What's going on? Did you hear that scream?"
I asked, my voice tense. The employee looked slightly annoyed but maintained a calm demeanor.
"It's nothing, just boat issues. The ship makes all kinds of sounds, especially at night."
Frustration bubbled up inside me.
"I know what a boat sounds like, and that was clearly a scream. We're not imagining this."
The other guests began to murmur in agreement, their concern turning to skepticism about the employee's explanation. Before we could press further, another scream pierced the air. This time, it was louder and more distinct. Everyone froze, ears strained for any additional sounds, but none came. For about an hour, we stood around, discussing what we had heard and speculating about its source. The employee insisted that it was just the ship settling, but I could see the doubt in everyone's eyes. Eventually, the group
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
First, each of us reluctantly making our way back to our rooms, still unsettled about the unexplained noise. As I laid in bed, trying to calm my racing thoughts, I couldn't shake the feeling that something was terribly wrong. The Righteous Wind, with all its historical charm, seemed to be hiding a dark secret. Tomorrow, I resolved to investigate further and find out what was truly happening aboard this ship. I woke up feeling uneasy after the events of the previous night. The screams and the way the employee had dismissed our concerns lingered in my mind. As I made my way to the dining hall for breakfast, I found myself scanning the crowd for Jacob. To my disappointment, he was nowhere to be seen. The breakfast was lively, with everyone chatting animatedly about the day's planned events. However, my mind was elsewhere. I decided to skip the scheduled events and head to the medical bay to check on Jacob. Something about his condition yesterday had left me deeply unsettled. When I arrived at the medical bay, I was met by an atmosphere thick with anxiety. The medical staff seemed on edge, their conversations hushed and their movements hurried. I approached one of the nurses and inquired about Jacob's condition. "Is Jacob all right? I saw him being taken here yesterday," I asked, trying to sound casual. The nurse's response was curt.
"He's fine, just resting. No need to worry."
Her tone and body language told a different story. She seemed anxious, almost as if she was trying to hide something. I pressed further, but each question only seemed to increase her agitation. "Can I see him? I just want to make sure he's okay," I insisted.
"No visitors allowed. It's for his own good," she snapped, her eyes darting nervously to her colleagues.
As I was about to leave, I heard a pounding noise coming from one of the medical rooms. It sounded like someone desperately trying to break free from restraints. My heart raced as I turned back to the nurse.
"What was that noise?" I asked, my voice tinged with concern.
The nurse's face paled, and she quickly moved to block my view of the hallway.
"Nothing, just some equipment. You need to leave now."
Before I could argue, another staff member appeared and forcefully escorted me out of the medical bay. Their behavior only heightened my suspicion that something was terribly wrong. Feeling increasingly uneasy, I decided to take matters into my own hands. I couldn't ignore the sense that the medical staff was hiding something about Jacob. That night, after everyone had retired to the cabins, I prepared to sneak into the medical bay. The ship was eerily quiet as I made my way through the dimly lit corridors. I avoided the areas where the crew might be, sticking to the shadows and moving silently. When I reached the medical bay, I found the door unlocked, as if they hadn't anticipated anyone daring to return. I slipped inside, the air thick with the sterile smell of antiseptic. The faint hum of machinery was the only sound, and I crept down the hallway, my heart pounding in my chest. As I approached the room where I heard the pounding earlier, I paused, listening intently. There it was again, the desperate rhythmic pounding of someone trying to break free. I pushed the door open slowly, peering inside. What I saw made my blood run cold. Jacob was strapped to a medical bed, his eyes wild with fear and his face contorted in pain. He was gagged, preventing him from screaming, and his eyes widened with desperate relief as he saw me. He thrashed against his restraints, the source of the pounding I had heard. The sight was horrifying, and I knew I had to help him. I hurried to his side and began undoing his straps. As I freed his right arm, I noticed something was terribly wrong. Jacob's arm bent backwards with a sickening crack, the bone making a grotesque popping sound as it moved in ways no human arm should. The skin stretched and twisted, the joints snapping audibly. A cold sweat broke out on my forehead as I watched in horror. Jacob's limbs moved with an unnatural flexibility, the bones cracking and creaking with each grotesque motion. His other arm bent at impossible angles to undo the rest of the straps, his joints making wet, crunching noises that turned my stomach. I stumbled back, the reality of the situation hitting me hard. This thing was not human. I had to get out of there. As I backed away, Jacob's head twisted around to face me, his eyes now filled with a predatory gleam. He let out a low growl, the sound vibrating through the room. I turned and sprinted out of the medical bay, my heart pounding in my chest. Behind me, I could hear the creature moaning and growling, struggling to fully free himself. I ran blindly through the corridors until I nearly collided with an employee. Breathless and terrified, I tried to explain what I had seen.
Jacob, he's not human. He's some kind of creature.
The employee looked at me with a mix of concern and skepticism. You're having a mental breakdown. We need to get you to the medical bay. I'll call the medical team to do an evaluation.
No, you don't understand,
I shouted, my voice rising in panic.
We can't go back there.
The employee tried to grab my arm, attempting to lead me back to the medical bay by force. Desperation fueled my actions as I struggled to break free. With a sudden burst of strength, I yanked my arm away and ran, not daring to look back. I sprinted for my quarters, my breathing coming in ragged gasps. Once inside, I locked the door and leaned against it, my heart racing. The reality of what I had seen was almost too much to bear. I needed to think, to figure out what to do next. For now, all I could do was wait and hope that the locked door would keep whatever Jacob had become at bay. I spent the remainder of the night sitting with my back against the door, restraining to hear any sound that might indicate the creature was coming for me. My heart raced with every creak and groan of the ship, but the anticipated attack never came. The hours dragged on until, finally, the first light of dawn began to filter through the room window of my cabin. When the sun rose, I hesitantly unlocked the door and peeked out. The ship was alive with activity, the normal hustle and bustle of the crew going about their morning routines. The ordinary sounds of the ship contrasted sharply with the terror of the previous night, making me question my own sanity. Perhaps the employee was right. Maybe I had imagined the whole thing in a moment of a mental breakdown. Despite my doubts, I knew I had to see the medical bay. I needed to know what had happened after I left and whether my mind had truly played a trick on me. If necessary, I would submit to the medical evaluation the employee had suggested. With trepidation, I made my way to the medical bay. To my surprise, two security guards were now stationed at the entrance. Their presence was unusual and only heightened my sense of unease. "Can I go in?" I asked one of the guards. "I need to be evaluated."
"The medical bay is closed today," the guard replied curtly.
"Closed? Why?" I pressed, my anxiety growing.
"That's all the information I have. You'll need to leave now," the guard said, his expression impassive.
I attempted to argue, explained that I needed to see a doctor, but the guard remained unfazed. His stone-cold demeanor made it feel that no amount of pleading would change his mind.
frustrated and feeling more isolated than ever, I walked away from the medical bay. My mind raced with questions. Why was the medical bay suddenly off limits? What had happened to Jacob after I fled? And most disturbingly, had I really imagined the entire horrifying encounter? Unsure of what to do next, I decided to spend the day trying to gather more information. And perhaps someone else could have seen or heard something that could confirm or disprove my fears. I couldn't shake the feeling that there was a dark secret lurking beneath the surface of this voyage, and I was determined to uncover it. Frustrated by the stonewalling at the medical bay, I wandered the ship, trying to shake the feeling of unease. The sun was bright, the sea calm, yet the normalcy of the morning did nothing to quell my growing anxiety. I needed answers, and decided the best course of action was to observe and listen.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
As I walked past the captain's quarters, I heard raised voices. The door was slightly ajar, and I couldn't resist the urge to eavesdrop. I pressed myself against the wall, straining to catch the conversation.
"I don't care what you've seen or heard,"
Captain Blythe was saying, his voice tight with stress.
"We can't alert the passengers. The last thing we need is a full-scale panic on our hands."
"But Captain, what about the crew?"
A crew member replied, equally tense.
"Jacob was nothing like this during the interviews. He was perfectly normal. Now he's something else."
The captain sighed heavily.
"I know. Something must have happened to him before he came aboard. But until we figure it out, we have to keep this contained. We can't afford to let this get out of hand."
My heart pounded as I processed what I'd just heard. Jacob was a new hire, and he had been acting completely differently from how he was during his interviews. The captain and crew were aware of his odd behavior and were desperately trying to contain the situation. This confirmed my suspicions. Something was terribly wrong on this ship. As the day progressed, the atmosphere on the ship grew increasingly tense. Whispers of crew members and passengers disappearing spread like wildfire. The sense of unease was palpable, and it wasn't long before panic began to set in. By mid-afternoon, the situation had escalated beyond control. People were openly expressing their fears, and the crew struggled to maintain order. It was clear that the captain's efforts to keep the situation under wraps had failed. The captain made an announcement over the ship's intercom, his voice calm but authoritative.
"Attention all passengers and crew. Due to unforeseen circumstances, I am ordering a lockdown. Everyone is to return to their cabins immediately and remain there until further notice. This is for your own safety. Please comply with these instructions."
The announcement only fueled the panic. People scrambled to their cabins, the hallways filled with hurried footsteps and anxious whispers. I made my way back to my room, my mind racing with thoughts of what may come next. Locking my cabin, I sat on my bed, trying to make sense of everything. The captain and crew knew more than they were letting on. Jacob was at the center of this mystery, his transformation into something monstrous the key to understanding the danger we faced. The sun was setting, casting long shadows through my round window. I couldn't shake the feeling that time was running out. The ship was now a prison, with everyone confined to their quarters and the monster lurking somewhere within. I needed a plan to survive and get off this ship. If the captain and crew wouldn't or couldn't protect us, I had to find a way to save myself. I wasn't interested in uncovering the truth behind Jacob's transformation anymore. I just wanted to live, Tomorrow, I would look for any opportunity to escape, whether it meant finding a lifeboat or signaling for help. For now, I had to keep my wits about me and stay hidden. Whatever was happening on the Righteous Wind, I was determined to survive this nightmare voyage. Lying in bed, my mind refused to rest. The events of the day replayed in my head, and the gnawing fear kept me wide awake. Every creak of the ship seemed amplified in the quiet of the night. Suddenly, I heard heavy footsteps echoing down the hall. My pulse quickened as the footsteps stopped abruptly, followed by the loud bang of a door being flung open. A quick, faint scream pierced the silence, coming from one of the cabins. The heavy footsteps resumed, each thud sending a jolt of fear through me. They stopped again, and another door banged open, this time followed by two screams. One short and terrified, and the other long and filled with agony, ending abruptly with a wet, sickening sound. I realized with mounting horror that the creature was going cabin to cabin, doing God knows what to the guests. My mind raced, and I knew I had to act fast. I leapt out of bed and began barricading my door with anything I could move, the desk, the chair, even the small dresser. The footsteps and screams grew closer, the creature methodically making its way down the hall. The sounds of the doors being broke open, and the cries of my fellow passengers echoed hauntingly through the corridor. I could hear the creature's growls and the sickening sounds of its attacks. With my makeshift barricade in place, I pressed my back against the door, my heart pounding so hard I thought it might burst. I heard the footsteps right outside of my room now, each one a death knell. The creature stopped, and for a moment, there was only silence. I held my breath, praying it would move on. Then the door shook violently as the creature tried to force its way in. I clamped my hands over my mouth to prevent a scream. The creature growled low and menacing, and then the door shuddered again as it slammed against it with a tremendous force. The barricade held, but I knew it wouldn't last long against such strength. I scanned the room for anything else I could use to defend myself, but there was nothing. All I could do was wait, hope, and try to stay as quiet as possible. The creature's frustration was palpable, and I could hear it snarl and slam against the door repeatedly. The seconds stretched into what felt like hours as I waited, my body tense and ready to fight for my life. The creature eventually moved on, its heavy footsteps receding down the hall, followed by more screams and the sounds of doors being smashed open. I knew this was just a temporary reprieve. The creature would be back, and I needed a plan. My only thought was to survive the night and find a way off of this cursed ship at first light. For now, I stayed pressed against the door, listening intently for any sign of the creature's return, my heart pounding and my mind racing with fear and desperation. Panic spread as other passengers began waking up and stepping into the hallway to investigate the noises. Suddenly, the air was filled with screams of pain and agony. I could hear them clearly, but there was nothing I could do to help. The chaos outside my cabin was overwhelming, and I could just only sit helplessly as it unfolded. Tears streamed down my face as I listened to the carnage. Blood began to seep under my door, pulling on the floor of my cabin. The metallic smell filled the air, making me feel even more trapped and powerless. The screams eventually stopped, which scared me even more than the chaos. Silence fell, thick and heavy. The footsteps returned, stopping right outside my door. My heart raced as I counted the seconds. 5 minutes passed, each one stretching into an eternity. Then, to my shock, I heard a delicate knock. I froze, startled by the unexpected sound. I had been bracing for another violent attempt to break down the door. Then I heard a voice. A voice that made my blood run cold. It was my wife's voice, crying and begging for help. "Dave, please," she sobbed. I need you. Help me, Dave. My wife had passed away from cancer last year. Hearing her voice was beyond terrifying. I knew it was a trick, but the sound of her crying nearly broke me. I clamped my hands over my ears and rocked back and forth, sobbing. The creature continued to mimic her voice, pleading and crying.
Dave, won't you help me? Please open the door.
I pressed my hands harder against my ears, trying to block out the sound. After what felt like an eternity, the creature's pleas turned to frustrated growls. It slammed against the door one more time, shaking the barricade but failing to break through. Finally, the creature's footsteps retreated down the hallway, leaving me alone in the cabin. I stayed huddled against the door, too terrified to move, my mind racing with fear and desperation. The nightmare was far from over, and I knew I had to find a way to survive until morning. I stayed huddled against the door for what felt like forever, my heart pounding in my chest. Every creak of the ship and every distant sound set my nerves on edge. I listened intently, waiting to ensure the creature was truly gone. After about an hour of agonizing silence, I finally gathered the courage to move. Slowly.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I removed the barricade I had built piece by piece, and my breath came in shallow, uneven gasps. When the last piece was moved, I hesitated, my hand hovering over the doorknob. Steeling myself, I turned the knob and opened the door just a crack. The stench hit me first, a foul metallic smell mixed with the unmistakable odor of fresh blood. I gagged, nearly retching as I pushed the door open wider and stepped into the hallway. The scene before me was a vision of pure horror. The floor was slick with blood, making it difficult to keep my footing. I had to move carefully, trying not to slip in the thick crimson pools. The walls were splattered with gore, bits of flesh and chunks of what used to be humans strewn about like grotesque decorations. Bodies, or rather, the remains of bodies, laid scattered across the hallway. They were barely recognizable as human, reduced to mangled pieces of meat and bone. Some were missing limbs. Others had their torsos torn open, exposing organs and glistened wetly in the dim light. The air was thick with the smell of blood and the acrid scent of fear. As I walked, the squelching sound of my shoes on the blood-soaked floor was nearly unbearable. I passed by one cabin where the door had been ripped off its hinges. Inside, the room was a massacre. The bed was soaked in blood, and the walls were streaked with the deep gouges, as if the creature had clawed at them in a frenzy. I slipped on a particularly large chunk of flesh and had to catch myself against the wall. The sensation of the sticky warm blood against my skin made me shudder with revulsion. I forced myself to keep moving, driven by a morbid curiosity and the need to understand the full intent of the horror that had unfolded. The screams that had haunted me earlier were now painfully clear in my mind, each one connected to the gruesome remains before me. The faces of the victims were twisted in terror, eyes wide and mouths frozen in silent screams. As I moved further down the hall, the carnage only intensified. The creature had left nothing but devastation in its wake. Doors hung off their hinges, rooms were torn apart, and the once pristine ship now looked like a scene from a nightmare. I stumbled to stop near the end of the hallway, my legs shaking and my stomach churning. The sheer brutality of the scene was overwhelming. I leaned against the wall, trying to catch my breath. The coppery taste of blood and the stench of fresh slaughter filling my senses. The silence that now filled the ship was deafening. The absence of life, the absence of hope, weighed heavily on me. I knew that I had to find a way off of this ship, but the path ahead seemed more perilous than ever. As I stood there, surrounded by the remnants of the creature's rampage, I made a silent vow to survive. I would not let this ship become my grave. I would find a way to escape this floating nightmare and live to tell the tale of the Righteous Wind's final horrifying voyage. The silence that filled the ship was suffocating, broken only by the occasional creak of the wooden hull and the distant sound of the ocean outside. Determined to survive, I decided to find the captain. If anyone knew what to do, it would be him. Steeling myself, I slowly made my way through the ship, listening intently for any noise. Every step was cautious, my senses on high alert. The smell of death and blood was pervasive, and the gruesome scene I had left behind still haunts my thoughts. As I moved through the corridors, the oppressive silence was broken by a faint, unsettling noise. I froze, my heart pounding in my chest. I heard the creature before I saw it, the sickening sound of bones crackling and joints popping. Pressing myself against the wall, I peeked around the corner and saw it slowly moving through the ship, searching for its next victim. The creature's movements were grotesque and unnatural. Its arms were elongated so much that it was practically walking on all fours, yet its torso remained upright. The way it moved defied the human anatomy, its limbs bending at impossible angles. Each step was accompanied by the unsettled sound of bones creaking and sinews stretching. The creature's arms, now grotesquely long, swung like pendulums, the hands nearly grazing the floor. Despite the monstrous transformation, it still somewhat resembled Jacob. His face, however, had taken on a horrific quality. It drooped as if the skin was too large, hanging loosely like a fabric mask that was far too big. The eyes, once human, were now hollow and empty, filled with a malevolent intelligence. The mouth, distorted and gaping, occasionally twitched with a grotesque mimicry of a smile. The creature's entire body seemed to move with a disturbing fluidity, each motion exaggerated and twisted. Its spine arched unnaturally, the vertebrae protruding beneath the skin, adding to its nightmarish appearance. The legs, too, had lengthened, bending backwards with a sickening crunch as it walked, giving it an unsettling gait that was neither fully human nor animal. As it moved, the creature's head twitched and jerked, scanning the surroundings with a predatory alertness. The air was filled with the faint sound of its labored breathing, a raspy, inhuman noise that sent chills down my spine. I held my breath, pressing myself as flat as possible against the wall. The creature passed by, its elongated limbs brushing against the walls, leaving smears of blood in their wake. The smell of decay and the metallic scent of blood intensified as it grew closer, making it hard to keep from gagging. The creature paused, its head tilting as if listening. For a heart-stopping moment, I feared that it had sensed me. I could see the muscles under its skin twitching and the bones shifting with every slight movement. Then, with a low, guttural growl, it moved on, continuing its hunt for the next unfortunate soul. I waited until the sound of its footsteps faded before I dared to move. My legs were shaking, and my breath came in shallow, terrified gasps. Summoning all my courage I had left, I continued my journey to the captain's quarters, praying that I wouldn't encounter the creature again. Each step was a battle against the urge to turn back and hide, but I knew I had to find the captain. He was the best chance at survival. The memory of the creature's twisted form and the horrific sounds it made stayed with me, driving me forward with a mix of fear and determination. The door to the captain's room had been ripped off its hinges, hanging barely by a single bended nail. The sight was both horrifying and foreboding. Stepping cautiously into the doorway, I took in the scene before me. The room was a wreck. Furniture was overturned, and the once ordinarily cabin looked like it had been hit by a tornado.
The captain's desk, which had been the focal point of the room, was now a splintered ruin. Papers, maps, and navigational tools were scattered across the floor, some stained with blood. A small pool of blood near the center of the room caught my eye. It wasn't large enough to suggest a fatal injury, but it was a clear sign that a struggle had taken place. I scanned the room for any sign of the captain or his remains, but there was nothing. No body, no clues to his fate. The walls were covered in deep, jagged scratch marks, as if the creature had raked its claws across them in a fit of rage. The wood paneling was gouged and splintered, with some sections nearly clawed through entirely. It was as if the creature had tried to tear the room apart in its hunt. The bed was upturned, the mattress slashed open and spilling its stuffings onto the floor. The curtains, once neatly drawn, hung in tatters, swaying slightly with the ship's movements. Even the ceiling bore the marks of the creature's fury, with claw marks running along the beams. A broken lantern lay in shards near the door, the oil pooling around it and mixing with the blood. The smell of the oil combined with the metallic scent of blood was also overwhelming. I had to fight the urge to gag as I took in the full extent of the destruction. Everywhere I looked, there were signs of a violent struggle. The captain's quarters had been transformed from a place of command and order into a chaotic scene of carnage. It was clear that whatever had happened here, it had been brutal and swift. My mind raced with questions. Had the captain managed to escape? Or had the creature taken him elsewhere? The lack of a body was both a relief and a concern. If the captain was still alive, there might be hope. But if the creature had taken him,
step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Mean and even worse fate awaited him. I backed out of the room slowly, my thoughts a whirlwind of fear and uncertainty. The captain's quarters had offered no answers, only more questions and a stark reminder of the danger that lurked on the ship. I knew I had to keep moving to find a way off of this vessel before I met the same fate. The ship groaned and creaked around me, the sounds now filled with a new menace. Every shadow seemed to hide a threat, and every noise made my heart leap. Steeling myself, I continued down the corridor, determined to survive the nightmare that the righteous wind had become. I backed out of the captain's quarters, my mind racing with fear and uncertainty. The ship's eerie silence was punctuated by its groans and creaks, each sound a reminder of the lurking danger. I needed to keep moving, but the chaos of the captain's quarters had shaken me deeply. Suddenly, I heard a voice, soft, almost a whisper, calling out.
Come here! Over here!
It was the captain's voice. My heart leapt with a glimmer of hope. If the captain was still alive, he might have a plan, a way to escape this nightmare. I started to move towards the sound, my steps quickening.
This way!
The voice called again, more urgent now. But then, a chilling thought stopped me in my tracks. I remembered the creature mimicking my wife's voice, trying to lure me out of the cabin. The realization hit me like a punch to the gut. This could be another trick, another ploy by the creature to draw me into a trap. I froze, my breath catching in my throat. The voice continued the call, but now it felt wrong, too insistent, too eager. I stood there, torn between the desperate hope of finding the captain and the fear of falling into the creature's grasp.
Please, hurry!
The voice pleaded, filled with an unnatural urgency. My mind raced. The creature had already shown its ability to mimic voices to exploit my emotions and memories. I couldn't trust the voice, not after what had happened before. The realization solidified my resolve. I couldn't risk it.
I had to trust my instincts. Trust that this was another one of the creature's deceptions.
Over here, quickly!
The voice was getting louder, more desperate. It was trying too hard, and that only made me feel more suspicious. I couldn't afford to let my guard down, not now. Every step was a struggle against the part of me that wanted to believe, wanted the hope. But survival demanded caution and skepticism. Taking a deep breath, I backed away from the direction of the voice. I couldn't afford to be fooled again. The ship groaned around me, the shadows seeming to close in. My heart pounded in my chest as I retreated further into the corridor, keeping my eyes and ears alert for any sign of the creature. But then, just as I was about to turn away completely, I heard a faint familiar phrase.
"For the love of God, hurry!"
I stopped, my heart skipping a beat. The tone, the urgency, it felt different. Real. I hesitated, torn between my fear and the slim chance that this truly was the captain. Summoning all my courage, I edged closer to the source of the voice, my body tense and ready to flee at any moment. As I rounded the corner, I saw him, Captain Blythe, huddled in the shadowed alcove, his face pale and eyes wide with fear.
"Thank God,"
he whispered, his voice shaking.
"We need to get out of here now."
Relief flooded through me, mixed with a residual fear that had gripped me moments before. The captain was alive, and with him, a glimmer of hope.
"I'm Dave," I said, trying to steady my nerves. "What happened? How do we get off this ship?"
"We don't have much time," he said urgently. "The lifeboats. We need to reach the lifeboats."
I nodded, my resolve strengthening. Together we began to make our way towards the lifeboats, moving cautiously through the blood-soaked corridors of the Righteous Wind. With the captain by my side, we moved cautiously through the blood-soaked corridors of the Righteous Wind, our steps quick but silent. The ship creaked and groaned around us, each sound settling my nerves on edge. The weight of the horror we were escaping pushed me forward with a desperate urgency. We finally reached the deck, where the lifeboats were positioned. The night air was cold and salty, a stark contrast to the oppressive atmosphere inside the ship. We hurried to one of the lifeboats, working quickly to ready it for lowering. As the captain climbed into the lifeboat, a sudden sickening sound of tearing flesh filled the air. I looked up in horror to see the creature leaping onto the captain from above. Its claws slashed into his back with brutal force, ripping through the flesh and muscle with a wet, tearing sound. Blood sprayed across the lifeboat and the deck, and the captain screamed with a mix of pain and terror. The creature's claws dug deep, carving gruesome wounds into the captain's back. Flesh hung in ragged strips, and the bone gleamed white through the crimson gore. The captain struggled, his face contorted in agony, but the creature's grip was relentless. The air was filled with a metallic scent of blood and the sound of the captain's labored breathing. In a panic, I fumbled with the rope mechanism, desperately trying to lower the lifeboat. My hands were slick with sweat and shaking uncontrollably. As the boat began to descend, I felt a sudden jerk and the lifeboat stopped abruptly. I looked up to see the creature, its face twisted into a monstrous grin, cutting through the ropes with its claws. With a final decisive slash, the rope snapped and the lifeboat plummeted headfirst into the ocean. The impact was brutal, flipping the boat over and throwing me into the freezing water. I surfaced, gasping for air, and clung to the overturned lifeboat, my heart pounding in my chest. I looked up to see the creature standing at the edge of the ship, its eyes fixed on me with a predatory gleam. It began to climb down the side of the ship, its grotesque limbs bending and cracking as it moved. The horror of its movements were matched only by the realization that it was coming for me. Suddenly, the captain appeared behind the creature on the deck, his face a mask of determination despite his grievous wounds. He held a broken pulley in his hand, the metal gleaming in the moonlight.
With a fierce cry, he swung the pulley, smashing it into the back of the creature's head. The creature let out a guttural scream, a sound so horrifying it seemed to pierce the very night air. I couldn't see it, but its grotesque cry filled the air, echoing across the water. The captain turned to me, his voice hoarse and urgent.
Go! Keep going!
I gripped the edge of the overturned lifeboat, my muscles burning with the effort. As I gripped the right of the boat, a deafening explosion tore through the night. The ship erupted in a massive fireball, flames and debris shooting into the sky. The force of the blast sent a shockwave through the water, knocking me off the lifeboat and into the icy depths. For a moment, everything was chaos. The roar of the explosion, the searing heat, and the violent churn of the ocean overwhelming my senses. I fought the surface, lungs burning, and finally broke through, gasping for air. I clung to the lifeboat, the remains of the Righteous Wind burning in the distance. The creature was nowhere to be seen, but its grotesque, chilling cry still echoed in my ears. The captain, I could only hope his sacrifice had been enough to end the nightmare. The cold night air bit into my skin, but I felt a strange sense of relief. The ship was gone, the creature defeated, and I was alive. I held on to the lifeboat, letting the current carry me away from the burning wreckage, determined to survive and tell the tale of this horrific voyage. The cold seawater bit into my skin, but I fought to stay cautious, clinging to the overturned lifeboat. My muscles ached, and my body was numb from the icy water, but I forced myself to climb onto the lifeboat. Each movement was a struggle, but the thought of survival pushed me onward. As dawn began to break, casting a pale light over the wreckage of the Righteous Wind, I saw a distant shape on the horizon. A ship. My heart leapt with hope, and I waved frantically, my voice hoarse as I shouted for help. It was the Coast Guard. They had received reports of an explosion and came to investigate. They pulled me from the water, wrapping me in blankets and offering words of comfort. I was safe, but the ordeal was...
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Far from over. In the weeks that followed, there was an international investigation into the explosion of the Righteous Wind. The media was ablaze with speculation and theories. The creature, the horror we faced, was not something they could easily accept or understand. My account was met with skepticism and disbelief. Despite the evidence of the ship's destruction and the blood-soaked remains of the passengers and crew, there wasn't enough concrete proof to convict me of any crime. The creature had left no trace that could be presented in a court of law. The trail became a spectacle, a battle of words and doubts, but in the end, I was acquitted. The official story remained a tragic maritime disaster, with no mention of the true horror that had occurred. I now live in Arizona, far from any body of water. The dry, arid landscape in a stark contrast to the endless expanse of the ocean that once held me captive. I've traded the sound of the crashing waves for the silence of the desert, seeking solace in the distance from the sea. The memories of that night still haunt me. The creature, the screams, the explosion, they play on an endless loop in my mind. I keep to myself, avoiding questions and the prying eyes of those who remember the headlines. The tale of the Righteous Wind is a story I carry alone, a nightmare I survived but could never truly escape. Here in the desert, I find a fragile peace, a refuge from the horrors of the past. But every so often, in the stillness of the night, I hear the faint echo of a grotesque cry, a reminder that some nightmares
never truly end.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.